for WKU Public Radio. This is Dan Modlin. One of the most significant deadly battles of the American Civil War took place at Antietam 150 years ago today. Confederate Commander Robert E. Lee decided the time was right to move the war north into Maryland after Confederate successes at Manassas and the Second Battle of Bull Run. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies says the fighting at Antietam was fierce.
Well, this was the single bloodiest day in American history. Casualties, because we count both Confederate and Union as American casualties, 23,000 fell. Total casualties fell on that field. That includes dead, wounded, and missing. But it's about 4,000 dead left on the battlefield. And that exceeds anything that this country has ever gone through in a single 24-hour period. So this is a major blow to both sides, North and South.
WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker says the battlefield at Antietam was relatively small,
which is an indication of how skillful Lee was in forcing McClellan to fight his battle. Because what happened is when Lee began his march into Maryland, taking the war to the enemy, as he was hoping for, convinced that the Army of the Potomac was in very bad shape, he was overestimating that. But when he did, a disaster happened. On the 13th of September, one of his orders, Order 191, which detailed what he was going to do, was retrieved by the enemy. What had happened was one of his staff officers had forgotten he had already sent out the order, and as a result, he sent out a second one. The staff officer that received the order realized he already had one, and so he just stuck it in his pocket because he had some cigars and he wanted to wrap them around the cigars. And he was sitting under a tree, smoking a cigar, and suddenly a Union cavalry unit comes up. He has to scramble to get away, and he leaves the order behind with the cigars. They get the order, they realize what it is, they take it in, and it just so happens the guy on McClellan's staff that sees it happened to have been a roommate of the guy that wrote it at West Point, so he immediately knew it was genuine. So McClellan has Lee's order. Lee has split his army in front of a superior force. At this point, since he's detached Stonewall Jackson to take Harper's Ferry, Lee's probably got only between 25 and 30,000 men. McClellan's got over 60,000 men with him, plus another 15,000 within 6 miles away. So he could close on Lee in a hurry and destroy him. But instead, McClellan doesn't do anything for a day. He doesn't begin to move against Lee until the next day. On the 14th, Lee realizes what's happened, detaches some of his people to hold the passes between McClellan and him as long as they can. And D.H. Hill, who does not perform that well in the rest of the war, does a magnificent job at a place called Turner's Gap. And the Union breaks through. Lee then finds this position, which is a great position in some ways because there's a lot of folds in the ground. It's a good defensive position, Woods, but his back is to the Potomac River.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy says Union General McClellan's failure to move more quickly was considered a lost opportunity at the Battle of Antietam.
It's an unusual set of circumstances for a general to find himself with a copy of the precise orders of the enemy. It's not just getting those orders. Those orders included where each part of Lee's army was located. So what the opportunity is here is that McClellan could have destroyed Lee's army in detail. That's a phrase also used in the military. That means part by part. McClellan doesn't take advantage of any of the circumstances that he gains during the battle itself. And both armies are left on the field the evening of September 17th. Now, it's true that Lee retreats ultimately, but he stays September 18th. It almost dares McClellan to attack him, and McClellan does not. This is Lee psyching out his enemy, as a poker player might do. Finally, Lee does retreat back over the Potomac River. So it's a draw at best, yet the Union side interprets this because Lee does withdraw from the battlefield. The North interprets the battle, and the Lincoln administration does, as a Union victory. And so it's announced throughout the North as a great Union victory. What that victory does, or so-called victory does, in Europe is it has an immense impact, and it's really a factor in which European countries, particularly England and France, won't henceforth consider the possibility of intervening in this American war or allying themselves with the Confederacy. So the hopes of foreign intervention, which the Confederacy had embraced for this whole long period of the war leading up to September 1862, that dream of foreign intervention is essentially over. Lincoln kind of puts the final nail in this coffin of foreign intervention by issuing, right after the Battle of Antietam, the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, which will later go into effect on January 1, 1863.
Dr. Jack Thacker says the widespread carnage at the Battle of Antietam also had an impact on some military leaders.
Especially on Southern generals, and perhaps more on Longstreet than anyone else, who was manning part of the area which was referred to as Bloody Lane, where it was a sunken road, and the carnage was probably greater there than anywhere else. He came to the conclusion, as did others, that the way to victory was not through offensive actions, but defense. Make the cost so great that the Union would come to terms. I think Antietam explains part of Longstreet's behavior at Gettysburg and his reluctance to attack myself. But it certainly had that effect.
And Dr. LaFantasy says photographs taken of the battle scenes had a major impact on civilians and the public perception of the war.
Matthew Brady had assigned one of his photographers, Alexander Gardner, to follow the Union Army, and Gardner got to Antietam right after the battle and took amazing photographs of the dead, primarily Confederate dead, still in place on the field. Later, Brady held an exhibition in his New York gallery of these Gardner photographs. And this was the first time in American history that the public was able to see photographs of dead on a battlefield.
And Dr. LaFantasy says another of the military consequences of the Battle of Antietam was that it marked the end of Union General George McClellan's leadership.
McClellan's days as a general were quickly numbered. It would take Lincoln not very long to fire McClellan once and for all, and it was the end of McClellan's military career, essentially. He remained a commissioned officer, commissioned general, after Antietam, but he was never put to use. He went back home to New Jersey.
This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for further discussion of the Battle of Antietam and its impact on the development of the Emancipation Proclamation. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.